I want to talk on the subject today about meditation. To meditate means to quietly contemplate, consider, think upon. It's a simple concept, but if you've ever had anybody tell you that, well, you need to meditate, you know, you need to meditate on the word, you need to meditate and everything, and it sounds like it's a big mysterious something, and we worry, are we doing it right? Are we really meditating? And oh, I need to meditate more deeply, or I need this, or I need that. And so I'm hoping that the Lord will break it down for us today a little. We want to start in Joshua, the first chapter and the 8th verse. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." So this is why we're told to meditate. The Bible tells us, if we do this, we're going to have good success, we'll be prosperous. It says that it will help us to observe all that is written if we take time to meditate upon it. And see, it says meditate day and night. Quietly contemplate day and night. Think upon day and night. Consider day and night. Dear ones, it is just thinking. We do it all day. We do it every day. We do it all day long. It is just making our thoughts go a certain way instead of the way that we normally do. It says in Psalm 63, 5 through 7, it says, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips." This sounds good. "When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." There's something that happens when we think upon the things of God, when we meditate upon those things, we keep those things in our mind. There's something that happens inside of us. It brings a joyfulness to us. It opens us up. It causes our cares and our troubles to go to the back. They recede when we contemplate and think upon and all the things of the Lord. But in Psalm 77 is where we live. Psalm 77. And we're going to start at the first verse and go down through 12. It says, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused." I want you to pay attention. "Refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed." Now, that doesn't sound so good, does it? It says, I have a lot of troubles. We live in a world full of trouble. We have troubles in our families, our jobs, our neighborhoods, our cities, our world. We have troubles. We have trials. We have tests and things that cause us great heartache. It says, "In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord." I sought him. And it seemed to get worse at night. You ever realize how things get worse at night? You can have a sickness. You can have the flu. You can have a cold. You can have whatever is on your body. And during the day, you can feel pretty good. And that night starts coming on, and it starts getting a little dark, and it starts, the temperature starts dropping or whatever, and all of a sudden, all those symptoms seem to magnify. You ever notice that? And so, it says that my sore ran in the night, and everything is getting worse. And it didn't stop. My soul refused to be comforted. Now that's a very sad place to be in when our soul refuses to be comforted. You know, sometimes we can get to thinking about things and we get to feeling like that we need to think on this thing over and over, this horrible thing that has been happening. We need to think on it over and over. We need to run it through our mind. We need to understand it. We need to get to the bottom of it. We need to, in other words, we're just, it's running over and over in our mind. And it's why we can't be comforted. It's why we can't sleep. Because our minds, we can't get our minds turned off. My soul refused to be comforted. Now, that seems a little harsh, doesn't it? But do you know sometimes we feel like that unless we are in deep grievance and suffering when we pray about something, that God can't answer? In other words, the more we afflict ourselves and the worse we feel and the more we don't feel like eating and we don't feel this, that's going to bring the answer. And it reminds me sometimes how that in the Catholic Church, how they have to do penance. They have to self-inflict themselves in order to get the answer. We don't have to do that. We don't have to do that. We are privileged to be able to come to God and lay out our cares and our troubles, and then we are privileged to cast them on Him, and He said He would carry them for us so that we don't have to carry them. And we are privileged to think then on the good things of God and not have to think and worry about the problem anymore. That's a privilege that we have. That's a promise that we have, that He will carry those things for us if we will do things the right way. But this is where we live. It says, I remember God. I remember God. I'm in this horrible place. I'm there in my bed. I'm in the middle of the night. I'm trying to go to sleep. My mind is running. I'm going over and over and over the thing that has gone wrong and what is this and trying to figure it out. And But in between all of that, I'm remembering God. I'm saying, oh God, help me to quit thinking about this. Help me to be able to go to sleep. Help me to do this. Help me to do that. And then our mind it's off and running again and it's going again. And it says, I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. This is where we live a lot of the times. This is what we do instead of meditating upon the things of God. This is what we do. We do these things. We complain. We have these conversations in our minds and with ourselves. It says in the fourth verse, "Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old and the years of ancient times." Okay. In the sixth verse, it says, "I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search." Okay. So it sounds like he's starting to come out. Sounds like he's starting to do the right thing. But I want you to take note of what he came to the conclusion. This is his conclusion. He says, "Is his mercy clean gone forever?" This is the conclusion. See, you see what I'm saying? These are the conclusions. He's having these troubles. He's thinking about them. He's calling on God. He's wanting to do the right thing, but he can't quite get there. It's still troubling him. It's still going over and over. And he's trying to remember God. He remembers song in the night. He communes. I commune with my heart, and I'm trying to do the right thing. And this is my conclusion. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fall forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And then in the 10th verse it says, "And I said, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High." When I read this scripture, I thought that this is my infirmity. I believe that All these conclusions he came to is his infirmity. Do you know that we have an infirmity in our minds, the way our minds work? Listen, dear ones, we meditate all day, every day. We just don't meditate on the right things. We do not meditate on God, his goodness, his graciousness, the good things, the pure things, the holy things. That is not what we are thinking of. We meditate all day long on all manner of things, but they are not good for us. When we were out in sin, our father, the devil, told us that this is what we had to think about, and we had to work out our own problems, and we had to take care of this and that. We had to think about this, and the more we thought, the more things he would pour into our mind, and we'd feel like that we were figuring it all out. We were figuring out what it was, but we found out we never got it. It never got any better. But our mind was churning all the time, and we learned how to do this. The devil's a good teacher. But God wants us to change our meditation. Amen. Meditation is not a mysterious thing. It is just thinking. That's all it is thinking. God wants you to think on good things, his things. And when you realize you're on a negative track, you need to stop. You need to stop. Turn around. Think about what you're thinking about. In other words, what am I doing? Have you ever done that? Have you ever found yourself all of a sudden there's this thought that comes in your mind, all of a sudden hits your mind, and you go, oh, I mean, it's so foreign. That thought is so foreign that you go, oh. And you say, how did that get there? It gradually got there. There was a little trigger point somewhere, maybe about an hour ago. It can be that far away. And you were thinking about this, and then it went to here, and then it jumped to there. And it was kind of just a lot, and the devil's just leading these little thoughts along, and it's going here, and it's going there, and going a little further. And then all of a sudden, he slams you with something that you know. Okay, I know that's wrong. But it's been wrong all along. You just weren't aware. God wants us to understand that we are meditating. We are meditating. But we are meditating on things that he doesn't want us to think about. That he does, when he says, cast the cares on me, that means you cast them and you don't pick them back up. I like to fish. I know what it means to cast. But you know, there are some people, I have fished with people, that cannot leave it out there. They have to pull it back in and look at it. You know, I haven't gotten a bite. Maybe the worm's gone. Maybe this has happened. Maybe that has happened. And they reel it back in. You know, the worm is still there. Everything is still there, you know, and then they cast it back out. But then pretty soon they're all antsy and everything again, and they're back to reeling it in again. That's what we do when we cast things to the Lord. We reel them back in. I just want to look at it. I just want to check on it. I just want to kind of see what's happening with it. And then there's others, you know, when you're just beginning to learn to cast, lots of accidents happen. You know, you get caught in a tree, you know, or you throw it as hard as you can, but you don't let your thumb up soon enough and it goes plunk right there. Because you're not very good at casting yet. So when we first start trying to cast things on the Lord, we cast them out there and they go plunk. And it's in the clear water where we can see it. So we try to think, we sit there and think, okay, do we need to do this over? You know, because you feel kind of foolish. It looked kind of weird. And you know that if anybody was watching, it's probably laughing. You know, so do I pretend like I don't know that it just went there? Or do I reel it back in? And so there they are. It's sitting there, and you can't help but keep looking at it. When we're first learning to cast our cares out there for the Lord, we can't seem to hardly keep from looking at it some more, pondering it some more, thinking about it some more. But those of us, we have examples before us. Sisters, I have some examples of sisters in my life that have lived this life a long time. And when they cast something, it is gone. They just cast it out there and it's out there. And you can ask them about it, a few days later or something, and it's as if they haven't even thought about it again. Meditation is what we think on. We spend too much time thinking on things that are not good for us. It is not good for us. It is an infirmity that we have. This man in the night came to the conclusion, well, it was all questions he's asking, but those are pretty serious questions. Would you have the nerve to ask the Lord, Lord, have you just cast me off? You know, I'm not in your favor anymore. You don't like me anymore, Lord. You've just gone. You've just left me. Are your promises not working anymore? This is what this man is saying. This is the conclusion he came to after he's struggling with his problems and after he tried to bring the Lord into it, but the enemy is strong, and his conclusions are a bunch of questions to the Lord. Now, he wasn't questioning the devil, was he? Was he questioning him? No, he was just accepting everything the devil said. He was just accepting that as fact. He was only rejecting the things that were of God or asking questions about the thing of God. He was accepting all the other. I'm accepting the troubles. I'm accepting the trials. I'm accepting this. I'm accepting that. The Lord wants us to meditate, learn how to meditate. Bring our mind in. We know that scripture. Bring every thought into captivity. It's difficult because we don't even know. This is the bad part. We don't even know when we're thinking. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You can be driving down the road and all of a sudden you find yourself thinking about something and you realize you've been thinking here for a long time, but you just hadn't paid any attention to what you were thinking about. But you'd been there a while. The Lord wants us to make a conscious effort to think on the things of God, to meditate on Him. It says in the 11th and 12th, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. In other words, one of the best ways to get over bad thinking is to start retelling all the stories that God has already given you. To start retelling them to yourself. Think on them. I remember when this was happening, and I was here, and I was there, and God came in, and He came in at the last minute, and you can begin to encourage yourself. That's meditation, dear ones. That's meditation. It's something you're doing in your own mind. You're always meditating. But you need to meditate on the right things. Make it a conscious effort to change the way you think. All right. So there are lots of things that can come our way. In Psalms 119, 23 and 24. Psalms 119, 23 and 24. It says, princes also did sit and speak against me. But thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies are a delight and my counselors. Okay, so here we are. Princes did sit and speak against me. You ever had anybody speak against you? Now, this was a prince that was speaking. Somebody high up spoke against me. What's the antidote? Meditate in God's statutes. But that isn't what we do, is it? That isn't what we do. What we do is we think about what they're saying. We think about what they said. We worry about who they said it to. We worry about how many people heard it. We worry about if it's going to come out somewhere else. Are they going to tell it across the country? Do you follow me? We're meditating. I want to tell you, you're meditating on what happened. You are meditating. Anything you meditate upon, you give it more power. You give it more power over you. So I'm meditating on all they said, all they did, all that happened. And I'm thinking about it and worrying about it. And could I have done this? And could I have done that? And I'm going over and over. But the antidote is just meditate on the Lord. Just leave it alone. And just go to the Lord and start meditating on His goodness, His mercy, His love, His everything that He has to offer. Meditate on that. Not on the wrongs, not on what has been done, not on those things. Those will only make you worse. It says, "Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." So who's testifying to you? God or the enemy? Who's testifying to you in your mind? Because they testify to you every day. The Lord comes in and testifies to you, tells you things every day. So does the devil. So which one are you meditating on? The one that's coming from the Lord or the one that's coming from the enemy of your soul? Which one takes up the most time in your day? Well, I know we try to pull our minds in the morning. We get up in the morning and try to pull them in. And then at night we try to pull them in at the last of the day. But what about the big majority in between? Where are our minds? What is happening in our minds? What are we doing? What are we thinking on? What are we meditating on? All of the testimonies of the enemy? Oh, this is bad and this is going to get worse. And oh, you know, they're probably doing this. They're probably saying that. What if this happens? What if that happens? These things go on in our minds all day long. They are testimonies from the enemy. And if we meditate on those testimonies, we will end up in that state of sadness and depression and not knowing what to do. And something comes up and we don't have anything to answer it because we've been meditating on all the things the enemy brought up during the day. Those are the things that took up our mind, and we don't have anything fresh from the Lord to use as our weapons when the enemy attacks us. He's very subtle at what he does. It doesn't have to be bad things. The enemy just wants you to be thinking on something. He can keep your mind all tied up in the state of the world. All tied up in politics. You know what I'm saying? He can keep you tied up just thinking about... Now, is there anything wrong with knowing what's going on in the world, the news? Is there anything wrong with knowing what's happening in the political realm? No, there's nothing wrong with knowing it. But if you spend hours and hours with your mind on these things, what are you going to have good and fresh and new when something comes? What are you going to have? Politics isn't going to be the answer. You know, the state of the world and the news... The newsman, you aren't going to call him on the phone and say, "What do I do about this problem?" You're going to go to God, and God's going to say, "Well, I've been trying to talk to you today, but you've been meditating on other things." All right. In 119, Psalms of 119:78. It says, "Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts." Yes. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to meditate in thy precepts. When wrongs are done to you, wrongs. It says, not only that, but this was a wrong that was done to me, and there was no cause. There was no cause. This was just wrong from the beginning. I didn't do anything to cause it. But what am I going to do with it? Sometimes it is harder for us to go to the Lord when we have done nothing to cause it than when we have done something to cause it. Because if we've done something to cause it, we can immediately go to the Lord and say, "Oh, forgive me, Lord. What have I done? I've done this and I've done that. And what are we doing?" We completely leave the other person out. Doesn't matter what they did. Because I was wrong. And so I just plead the blood for me. That's easier than when it's without a cause. Now try and go and talk to the Lord about it. Because we're used to going to the Lord and saying, "Oh, it's me, Lord, it's me. And I don't know, you know, help me, help me." But it's harder to go to the Lord and say, what am I going to do with this? Lord, I have to come up with a new language, you know. Lord, they didn't mean it. Lord, they're good, solid people. I don't think they meant to hurt me, Lord. I believe, Lord, that you can heal this and you can take care of this and that it doesn't have to hold them down or hold me down. I believe you can bring us out of this place. In other words, it's harder to do that. We want to think about all of the things we want to keep rehearsing in our mind. I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. And the thing is when you say, I didn't do anything, you aren't doing anything. Because you aren't praying about the situation. You aren't asking the Lord to heal it, even though it wasn't your fault. Heal it. Do something special for them. Help them. Bless them. It's all in how we meditate in our minds, how we control our minds, how we allow the Lord to come in and help us. We can't do it on our own. Of course not. It's impossible to do it on our own. But through Christ, who strengthens us, we can bring our very minds in and keep them from running to and fro wherever it wants to go. We can do it. It is possible, but it will be a lifelong battle. You won't fight this battle once. There are some battles we fight once. And then the devil brings him back a few years later and we laugh in his face. We fought that battle. But this is a battle you are going to have to fight as long as you're living. As long as you have a mind and as long as you are able to think, you are going to have to fight this battle. So it is not something that you're never going to be able to quit warring here. You are going to have the instruments and the weapons in your hands all the time. And you will never be able to rest from this. But God, if you meditate on Him, He will give you your mind's rest. He will rest your mind. He will bless you and help you to do that. That's what He came to do. It says in Luke 21:14. Luke 21:14, it says, settle therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. I want to know, how many conversations do you have with yourself about what you're going to say? About what you're going to say. You know, you may not even get a chance to say it. How many times have you thought all day, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say that, and if they say this, then I'm going to say that, you know, and then the end of the day comes and different things happen or whatever, and you don't even get to say anything you were going to say. And it just kind of all drifts away. And the devil doesn't care. He had your mind all day. That's all he cared about. Because he knows you'll get stronger if you meditate on the things of God. But if he can keep your mind troubled all day long thinking about what you're going to say. Argue with yourself all day long. Have a conversation with yourself all day long. If they say this, I'm going to say that. And when I get into work tomorrow, this is what I'm, you know, and if they try to do this, and I'm going to do, and I'm, you know, it's a trick of the enemy. Don't think about what you're going to say. If the Lord wants you to say something, He will inspire you at the moment. You ever thought you had it all figured out, and then the moment came, and there was no inspiration about all that stuff you thought about, and something else came out of your mouth. And it just blessed and diffused the whole thing. But, oh, I didn't get to tell Him what I thought. I didn't get to tell Him what I wanted to tell them. Dear ones, there's a little something in us, if we're not careful, that wants to tell people. We want to tell them about it. God would rather we prayed about it. He would rather we didn't tell them about it and we prayed about it. Oh, prayer diffuses things, dear ones. Meditation diffuses things. We won't have these arguments all day. When you find yourself in an argument in your own head, now this isn't even with a live person. I want you to realize what the devil's pulling on you. This isn't even a live person you're arguing with. This is just your perception of what they're going to say. It's not even live. And you spend all day talking to a fake person. Aren't we silly? Yes. But we don't know it. You know, every man's thoughts are right in their own eyes, you know. The things I'm thinking and things I'm wanting to say and everything, they're right and they're right on. And, you know, this person probably really needs to hear this. And, oh, it's going to be hard to tell them, but I think I'm going to have to tell them and everything. And the Lord doesn't let you tell them anything. And you thought about it all day. Wasted a whole day. You could have been thinking about the goodness of God. You could have been thinking about souls you need to pray for. You could have been thinking about ways to help in the Lord's work. You could have been thinking about so many things to do with God. And you spent all day, how I'm going to tell my words, my thoughts, my ways to that person. They need to hear it. All right, 1 Timothy 4. 13 through 15. It says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Listen, those ones that we hold in high esteem, that always seem to have the right words, always seem to have comforting, wholesome things, always have a smile, are always blessing God, even in their times of trouble and trial. And you ask them, we had a sister there in Fresno, you asked her, she was in pain constantly, horrible pain. The doctors had diagnosed her years before with cancer in the bone. She was in horrible pain. The Lord didn't let her die. But she was right there in that wheelchair, in that horrible pain, all the time. And she would sit in her wheelchair in church. She would come in with a smile on her face, and you would say, how are you today, sister? And she'd say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. How did she do that? Because she didn't dwell on the pain. She didn't dwell on what was wrong with her. She didn't dwell on what was going on in her body. She dwelt in the realm of the spiritual through the day. That's where she lived, in the spiritual. This physical life was not pleasant anymore. It wasn't pleasant anymore, the physical life. It was a drudgery. So she decided not to live there. She lived in the spiritual realm, where she thought on him and prayed with him and talked with him and communed with him and studied his word and looked and... And people flocked to her house to counsel with her in her wheelchair. When they needed something, they knew where to go. Go over to sister's house. She was never going to be too tired or asleep or too in pain or anything else. She was never going to be there. She was always going to be in the realm of the spiritual. And you could go there night or day, and she would deal with you about all the spiritual things. And then you would ask her, and how are you feeling? Oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Because she lived there. Listen, our blessings don't come from the physical down here, dear ones. There's no blessings down here. There's no blessings. The blessings come from the spiritual realm. They come from God. We can't live down here all day and visit the spiritual realm at night before we go to bed. Get up in the morning to visit the spiritual realm for a while and then live all day in the physical realm. I'm talking about with our minds. All day in the physical realm with our minds. We can't do that. We have to live in the spiritual through the day. Meditate during the day on the good things of God. So it says here, meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. We see it, don't we? We see those ones that spend their time in the spiritual realm, don't we? We know who they are. We wonder sometimes how they got there and what's your secret, and we want to know this or that. And all they'll tell you, it's just God. It's the grace of God. And you're thinking, well, how come I don't have that grace? Because you don't spend any time in the spiritual realm. You meditate all day on everything but the things of God. God wants to turn that around. In Psalms 19:14, it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It would be good at night when we get our quitting for the day, we get down. Lord, was my meditation pleasing to you today? Was it pleasing to you today? Did I spend too much time thinking over earthly and worldly problems and not spend enough time in the spiritual realm? And I'm not saying that there's not a place that we don't think about a problem. But when we think about a problem, we may think about, put it in sentences, 5 or 6 sentences on the problem. The next sentence should be heading for the spiritual realm. It should be saying, oh God, I don't know what to do with this. You see it. And we spend the rest, the next hour in the spiritual realm about it instead of pondering it, thinking about it. Oh no, what ifs? So, of course, we'll close with Philippians 4 and 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Oh, listen, we spend so much time listening to things that are gossip. We don't even know if it's true. We won't repeat it because we don't know if it's true. Right? We don't know if it's true. But we listen. We spend a lot of time there. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just. Oh, you can't spend very much time out there in the political world, can you? And think about things just, can you? There's no justice out there. We're finding less and less justice as time goes on. People are getting further and further away from the precepts of God, and it's becoming darker and darker. And if you spend very much time there, you're going to be in the dark. But think on the things that are just. You know, when you hear that good story, why is it that we only want to repeat the bad stuff? Why is it we can't remember the good stuff? Have you ever done that? This sister got up in church and she had this really good testimony. What was it? Well, and you start, you know what I'm saying? But if something gets a little out of order in service, oh, you can remember every detail. Every detail. Why is that? Why is that? You know why? Because the devil forces his meditation upon you. And he wants you to remember all the things that happened and how it went down and this and that and then start telling you things about it. All kinds of things. Oh, they're out of order and they're proud or they're this or they're that or they're taking too much time or whatever the devil says. We've all heard it. He says all those things. And we remember it. Why? Because it's cemented. But God doesn't force meditation on you. He doesn't force meditation on you. It's your choice. So you hear some good testimony in service, then spend some time meditating on it. What did you learn out of it? What did you get out of it? Oh, that was so good. Now I see why we do this, and now I see why this is so, and oh, this is going to help me in my life, and what you have done is now you have cemented that into your life with meditation. That's how we get the precepts in there. That's how it all works, through meditation. Whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, of a good report, of virtue, and if there be any praise in it, think on these things. Meditate on these things. The more we meditate on the things of God, the more sound we will be. Yes. The more spiritual we will be, the more it will show, the more others will notice, the more they will see us, the more they will understand that God is truly working in our lives, because we're living in the spiritual realm. We just don't visit it. Don't just visit the spiritual realm during the day. Live there. But you're going to have to draw in your mind and meditate throughout the day on these things, these kind of things, not the negatives, not the wrongs, not what's going wrong in the world, not what's going wrong here, going wrong politically, going wrong at the job, going wrong in the family. Don't spend your time going there. The Lord will help us, and He will cement it into our minds and our hearts. He will bless us. He is the strength to do this. We cannot do it on our own, and you will struggle with this your whole life. You will think that you have a pretty good grip on it, and then something big will come that really knocks you, and you will have to exercise it again, all over again, and fight it again, because our minds we have ever with us. We don't want to lose our minds. We don't want to be where we don't know anything. So if we're going to live with a sound mind, we're going to have to work to keep it sound. Yes. We're going to have to work at it, because the devil's working hard on it every day, and he's pushing his thoughts in. The Lord has to be invited. Amen.